Morning. Well, great. Good to be here this morning. God's house. Amen. We had a amen. Wow. Great to be in the house of the Lord. Wow. And the Spirit of God in you. The Spirit of God is in you through Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. Wow. What a gift. And we are hearing from God. We are being built up. And the Spirit is speaking to us and giving us guidance. We had a marriage getaway. I don't know the official word. It was getaway, but now we were in the Marriott Hotel in Harbor East Friday night and Saturday. Our guest speaker, Pastor Doug Wambold from Marlborough, Massachusetts, came down with his wife, Beth Lavoie Wambold. And I know there was maybe 100, 150 people, maybe 75 couples or something like this. And maybe the clapping is because you know how much they need that. Thank you, finally, yes. It was rich, and I'm saying this only to share with the body. Thank you for your prayers, because our families are so important. Our marriage is, it's funny, Pastor Brian used to say, you have to get a master's degree to be an engineer, you have to go to medical school to be a doctor, but you don't have to go to any school to be a husband. Huh. Oh, yeah, that's right. You don't have to go to any school to be a dad, and yet those are two very big things. And just to say, Pastor Doug, there was one of the lines he gave in the weekend was from Ephesians 5. Very simply, husbands, verse 25, husbands, love your wives. And this is what he said, that I'm a man that runs my home. I'm a man that will fight off my enemies. I'm a man with guns. And I like to fight and to be and run my house. These are just not word by word quote, but that's what he said. And God spoke to him one day and said, "Yeah, you run your business and you can run your family and your household, but can you love your wife?" And that was one of those arrows that came and hit my heart this past weekend. And all of these teachings help us get adjusted so that we can win in the race that God has given us to run. And we just cannot live this life by accident or by chance. We have to be decision makers. And some part of me cowers and hides and draws back and wants my safe, small space. But Jesus says, "Where are you? Where are you? I need you. I need you. I need you to stand. I need you to show up. I need you to be humble before me." And that's what I want. And I may not like some things, but by God's grace, we can be there. And our wives need us, our family, our children. He said one other thing. Maybe I'm stealing his thunder right now. Because he's going to speak, he's going to share with us. We were in Costa Rica a week ago, and we had an amazing time. Wednesday, we shared a little bit. And Wednesday, God gave us a hallmark message. Wednesday night was awesome message. So go check it out on the website. But he said, okay, come on, bring it back. I can't wait a minute. Oh no, did I lose it? Oh no. Oh, wow. What did you say? Maybe it's meant for you to say it and not me. Yeah. Oh, it was great too. It's gone. It's just gone. Okay, so let's pray for our service right now. That Father, we thank you for our fellowship of love. We love each other. We show up. I remember it now. In Jesus' name. Amen. He said that he was talking to a man who said, I'm going to get a divorce. And Pastor Doug said, oh, wait a minute. Don't you have children? And he said, yes, I have three. And he said, Pastor Doug said, do you love your children? He said, yeah, very much, very much. And Pastor Doug said, well, if your house was on fire, would you run into the house and save them? And the man said, of course I would. I lay down my life for them. I love them so much. You mean you would run into a fire, maybe die, be disfigured by the fire, come out coughing and choking and save your kids. You'd go through all of that, but you cannot take a little baloney from your wife? What a good argument. I take a little baloney from my wife. I keep my family together because I love my kids. Boy, that's it. That's got to be our goal, our orientation. And I am not saying life has been easy for anybody. And I know that there are divorcees in our midst. Of course, I know that. But put that aside, if you could bear with me and just say, it is beautiful when a family stays together. It is beautiful for the kids when they have mom and dad. It may not be pretty all the time, but it's worth it as much as possible. Okay. In Jesus' name, we pray for our service, Lord. Speak to us. Bless Pastor Doug as he ministers to us in your name. Amen.
This bulletproof? I like that. Just breathe, right? Thank you for giving me this opportunity. I want to just introduce my wife, Beth. Will you stand up? Pastor Ronaldo will tell you she's the spiritual side. Be quiet in church. So to have a little panic on the way in, we did this marriage seminar multiple times. The instructions were casual. And seeing as I'm not real good at packing stuff anyway, so we thought we were done yesterday afternoon, and then I heard that I was going to speak today. And thank God for Pastor Jerry Roberge and the tie. Anyway, we don't want to dishonor this amazing place, this incredible pulpit. And I don't want to take lightly this opportunity. We really had a good time with the couples. It was great to get to know so many new, so many young couples, so many that have been married a short time. It's exciting. Exciting to see what God is doing and how He is just constantly knitting us together with new people. So, Lord, we ask that You would please use this time for Your glory. Don't let me embarrass myself, Lord. And speak. Amen. Galatians 4. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all. I was thinking about that this morning. We get saved, positionally we have all, right? Everything is positionally loaded into us. But yet we're still a child spiritually, aren't we? Right? Yet we are still slave to so many things. Ephesians 2:2-3, it says the prince of the power of the air and the effects, and I'm paraphrasing, maybe I should just read it, but the effects of the atmosphere, the effects of the world, the desire for Satan to do what? For us to never realize that we can be master of our situations, right? Through the Lord. He wants us to remain as a child. He wants us to stay there. He wants us to live in indecision. He wants us to be double-minded, right? In Genesis 3, the start is the attack. And what does he do? He starts and he attacks right on the Word of God. Is that what God said? Is that what God meant? And is his character real? Does he really care for you? Or is he just afraid that you will rise to his position? Right? Satan is unbelievable how he comes and how he attacks and how he's relentless. I want to read this and we'll start in John 8. You ever have the fear that you would be looking for a verse in the Bible and you couldn't find the book? And everyone would say, he doesn't even know the Bible. But I have these tags from this weekend, so let's hope I stay online. Anyway, John 8, starting in verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants. We have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? And Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. There's a story I read one time, and it has always illustrated this so well in my mind. It was an abolitionist, lived in Massachusetts, and he would gather funds, and then he would go down, I believe it was Charlotte, to the port, and they would be bringing slaves in. And what he would do is he would buy as many slaves as he could, and he would buy them from the slave traders. And then he would write their paper that would make them a free man or a free woman. And so he bid for this man, and he won the bid, and the man came, and he brought him down, and he said, you know, they said, this guy belongs to you, he's your slave. And he took and he wrote out his papers to make him a free man, and he gave him his papers for a free man, and he said, you are free. You can go anywhere you want. You can do anything you want. You can follow any desire your heart has. You are no longer a slave. Do you understand this? And the man said, yes, I do. And so he got in his wagon to head back north. And as he was going through the streets, he noticed the man was following him. And he stopped and he said, no, you don't understand. You're free. You don't belong to me. You can do whatever you want. You have the ability to go anywhere. Shook his head. Got back in the wagon. The man continued to follow him. He did this three times. On the third time, he said to the man again, said, I know. I'm free to do what I want. But if you're the kind of man that didn't know me and you would pay for my freedom, you're the man I want to follow and serve. Right? Isn't this how it is? This word abide. We spoke this weekend about couples and marriage and what keeps a marriage? What keeps a life? What allows us to think and go? It's this word abide. I've been thinking about it all night long. What does it mean to abide in the Word of God? What does it mean to abide in the body? What does it mean to do that? It means to continue. It means to continue when things are good, continue when things are bad, continue when things are just so-so. I put myself in the body of Christ. I put myself in the Word of God. I submit myself under the authority of God. Right? I'm in that place. And in that place, I'm growing. God is moving. God is setting me free, and I'm able to live, and I'm able to love. As Pastor Schauer said, wow, it is awesomely fantastic to be in charge, right? Oh, I think every bone in my body wants that place somehow, except on this stage. And the thing is that how do you love somebody? How can I love somebody? How can an imperfect man with so many insecurities, problems, situations, quick to anger, love somebody with the love of Christ? By abiding in the Word, by abiding in the body, by abiding and moving forward, by growing in the Lord. Pastor Moon told us a story at the pastor's conference, and he said that there were these amazing guys that were part of the drug cartel. I'm sorry, I keep moving. It's that ADD and nerves. But these guys were incredible, nasty, evil. And I did make a, I almost made it all weekend. I cleaned my language up, didn't cross a bunch of lines, but I almost did there. I was going to say the B word, right? They were jerks and dangerous, right? But here's the thing. They got saved, right? And the cartel doesn't just come and shoot you. They kill you very nastily. So that someone else who would like to leave the cartel would have that vision in their mind. Well, these men said, do as you will unto us. I am going to follow Jesus. Unbelievable, huh? He said, but here's the most amazing part. Within a year and a half later, most of these guys were gone from churches because they got offended. Somebody offended him. Can you think of that? I'm going to kill you the most nasty way you can. Go ahead. You got my $10? Oh, you didn't like my tie? You know, think about it. Think about what happens to us when we operate in the natural. What is the entire plan of God? God is to what? To get us to abide and think in His Word and have the mind of Christ, and we know that. And what is the entire atmosphere is what? To just get me to think with my own mind and my own understanding. Isn't that amazing? That's the battle. That's the battle that's in our mind. My way, my understanding, or God's way? So many times in my life, my understanding is at total enmity with God. And you know what? Every time I followed mine, it has never led to the place that I wanted it to go. But isn't God so amazingly faithful as He steps into our life and He moves us out of this? That we don't live in the subjective mind, in a subjective way, always thinking things and putting them through ourselves and through feelings and through that. Right? If you think about it, what are all these, every love song in the world, right? Every love song in the world. What will I do? What will I do? Right? What will be there? I was going to tease Pastor Barry, but I don't see him. They asked us yesterday to go in the other room. Oh, there he is. Okay. Yeah. He has a new thing he's doing. He's writing cards for Hallmark now. Right? They asked us to go, and they said, hey, well, you know, guys, write your wife a love letter. So I thought, I know this is a plant. They're going to take mine and read it, so I got to be careful here. Right? And then there's a bunch of other guys singing. And then there's Pastor Barry, right? He's on page 4. I thought, what did he do wrong on the way here? Right? Yeah. Unbelievable. So then they had this other test, and I don't even know why I'm diverting over here, but they had this other test, right? They had us in the other room, and all the women took their shoes off. And they had this huge line of shoes out front, you know? They said, go pick your wife's shoe out. It just, you know what? It just looked like my wife's closet. Right? Right? She had one of every one. Do you love your wife enough to know what she wears for shoes? No, I guess we missed that one, huh? But subjective thinking, I'm thinking subjectively. I'm thinking with my feelings. I'm thinking with my understanding. I'm thinking there. One time we're in church and we have a meeting. And, you know, I'm going to say this to you. Give the man a break. Right? Learn to hear what he says. Learn to hear from the pulpit. I said this the other night because, and I am not against counseling. But I've been married for over 30 years. We've not had to ever go to counseling. Do you know why? Because we get counseling 4 times a week for 32 years, hearing the Word of God. Let your ear be open. Let your ear be open. Let your damn mouth be shut. Right? And this is the thing, right? Here we are. God is in control. Will I receive? Will I hear? Or am I just here for a show? Well, yeah, one of the things that we talked about was performing people, performing spouses. My life looks great on the outside and it's empty on the inside, right? Because I don't hear. So we were in a meeting. And, you know, there's always a problem in the church. And there's always a problem between people. And there's always that. I saw the new answer for all of it. It's incredible. Thank God they didn't have this when I was younger, or I wouldn't be able to walk. You put on full night gear, armor, complete armor, and they give you a real sword and you go on a ring. That's the best way. Got a problem? Come on down to church. We got a little ring for you, right? But, you know, we're in there and there's two people and they're having a battle over something that's there. And the man said to me, he said, you can't be a part of this. And I said, thank you, Noah. And he said, because he's your friend. And you can't be objective. And I said, you know something? You're right. Because he is my friend. And I don't take friendship lightly. Because my friendship is related with fellowship. Right? You know what? Are we looking out for each other? Do we stand with each other? Do we walk with each other? Our marriages we talked about this weekend, the oneness that comes, do we abide together in the Word of God? Do we operate together? Ecclesiastes 4, 7 through 8, we talked about that, you know? Do we have, Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 11, sorry. The two are greater than one. Well, if two are greater than one, how many are in this room? What is that? 10, said 10,000. How many can we chase together? How many can we be together with? How many can we be set on that? My whole life I played on teams. You know what? I was never the best athlete. I was never the fastest. I was never the strongest. But everything that was in me went into it. Everything that I had was given to it as much as I could. Because you know what? I was taught you do it as you do it unto the Lord. You give it on to the Lord. You pour everything out. But you know what? I had some of the most fantastic coaches in the world. And I think God was taking a young man and he was teaching me that the word submit is not a dangerous word. That the word submit is only to put me into a line of authority. The word of submit is a tremendous protection. And I had these guys that would lay their life down for me, a punk. But you know what? I learned something. When they called my name, I would do whatever was required to the best of my ability. You're in the church, you're in the body, you have a problem with somebody, you have an issue, try encouraging them. Right? Try encouraging them. Try and build them up. Try and move them forward. See what motivates you, what goes, what happens. My son, Ryan, he's a big kid. Got tree trunks for legs, right? And he could have very easily been a Division I football player. But he's different than his dad. He's kind. He's loving. He cares about animals. Giant kid would bring home every kind of animal, every kind of thing. Anything that was hurting, he had at home. Some people these days, they have problems with their young people. What's going on? What do they got? My closet, in the closet in his room, I heard a noise. What is that noise from his closet? Like, what is he doing, right? Some people have your kids doing everything in the world. I open his closet. He's incubating chickens. Right? And I said, Ryan. So Ryan played football because his dad asked him to play football. His heart wasn't in it. And like I said, that was fine, but I made a lot of mistakes in my life, but my son honored me. And he was at a football game, and he's playing guard, and he's a mountain of a man. And all of a sudden, he just started knocking people down, knocking them down. I don't know, maybe I shouldn't say this, but a father, ooh-ah, right? And he's pulling, and he's laying people out. He's pushing this tackle, and he's down at the 30-yard line, and everybody else is at the 50, and he's driving him. And the coach is out. Wow. And I'm thinking, he's alive. He's doing this. And after the game, I said, Ryan, wow, what happened? He said, the guys were punching us. I said, well, I'll punch you before every game if you're going to play like that. Right? He said, no, Dad, they punched me. It didn't hurt me. But they punched my friend James. And they hurt him. And he got mad. He got mad. Why? Because somebody hurt his friend. Somebody touched his teammate. Do we have that kind of tenacity for each other? Do we care for each other? Are we on a team? Are we part of a team? Romans 12:6, do we have the same mind? Do we have the same thoughts? James 4, 7 and 8, it says what? Submit to God, resist the devil. Flee. What does that mean? Submit to God, resist the devil, and flee from your sins. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you and cleanse your hands. Want to be able to love somebody? Want to be able to love your wife? Want to be able to be on a team? Want to be a part of something that God is doing, right? Submit myself to God and resist the world and watch what God does as I draw near to God. How do I draw near? I draw near to the Word. I come to the Word. My little nephew at church, he's 5 or 6, and the other day he said, I'm sick of this church. And I said, why? He said, all we do is talk about God, God, God. What else is there to talk about? What else is there to do? What else is there to life? What else is there? What is the answer for every question? Jude 1:20, Hebrews 20:32, build each other up in the Most High. Encourage. Move, lead, take your position, take your place. God is amazing, God is powerful. God never leaves us, he never forsakes us. Everything that I said, every one of you here knows this, every one of you have heard it many, many times. You don't get up and come to church at 9 o'clock in the morning because of convenience. Probably half of you will stay for the next service, and maybe after that. You've served all over the world. You've served in every one of the streets. You've laid your lives down. Amazing people. Incredible people. Right? Let's continue. Let's continue to grow. Let's continue to abide. When somebody offends us, shake it off. Right? Shake it off. Isn't that what? I love that one. When the snake bit Paul, right? What did he do? He just shook it off. Right? We don't live in our own understanding, our own thing. Because I thought I would tell this little story about what my own mind can do in things. I was in Texas when I was hunting. And we were up in an area, and we most of the time, when the hunting season's there, it's starting to get a little cooler, so the snakes disappear a bit. Well, we saw a couple rattlesnakes, and, you know, from the north, we don't really get to see rattlesnakes, so we wanted to poke at them, have some fun. And so we did that, and they finally went back in the rocks. So the next morning, early in the morning, this guide dropped me off, and I had to follow this path down about 3/4 mile down, and he had a shooting blind. Right? This was a very small blind that you had to get down on your hands and knees to crawl into. And when he got in, there was a chair there, and there were these 3 little window-type things cut so I could see out. And so I arrived there quite a bit before daylight, before the sun came up. And I got in, and I put my gun down and sat in the chair, and the top of the shooting house was about maybe 5 or 6 inches above my head. And I rested back and thought, what a beautiful morning. I'm going to see some amazing game this morning. And then something went over my feet. And it bumped to the side, and I thought, damn, snakes. And I thought about that rattlesnake that I was poking at, and I started. And as I sat there, it was growing in size in my mind. But I couldn't move because I can't get out of here without going down. I can't do this. And so I had to sit there till the sun came up. And being ADD, my parents, my mom always said, I have more patience than anyone she ever met. And I said, really? And she says, yeah, because you've never used any. So as I was sitting there, my mind was ruining my time. And it just kept getting worse in my brain because I started to think about things like, okay, if I'm bit, what do I do? I don't want to die without at least killing the snake. So if I can do that, but then how do I make it back to the road? What do I do? Do I got to cut my leg? How do I suck the blood out of myself? All these things. You know, you're trying to think and you're going through all these things are going through your mind. And it was of no joy. I will tell you that. And then the sun came up. Finally, the sun came up. And the sun shined in this little window. And all it was a stupid little rat. I stomped that thing to death. Right? But here is our lives, right? What do we perceive in our own? What do we think on our own? What is it that comes into our life? And then we run in our mind and the atmosphere gets a hold of it. And we take it. And like those incredible, mighty men of God which stood against the cartel and said, do what you want. But then got taken out through the back door because they were thinking in their own mind. Please, think with God, walk with God, abide, continue, and dwell. Thank you. Maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you've been here many mornings. Maybe it's your first morning. Maybe you felt a tug on your heart. Maybe you've never thought about trusting something outside of yourself. Well, this morning, the Lord is here, and He's knocking on the door of your heart. He's not asking anything of you. He's done the work. He's asking you, trust me, let me in, call upon me, let me come in and abide with you, let me be your Savior. Let me pay for your sins. Let me set you free. Maybe you said that prayer this morning. And we just asked if you did, that you would make a statement in the atmosphere. You can either put your hand up and let the atmosphere know. Maybe you could talk to somebody afterwards. We just ask that you would not let this opportunity go by. Maybe we're here and we're saved, but we've been living on our own understanding for too long. Maybe it's time that we just say, Lord, I want to be set free. I want whatever this thing that's plaguing me, whatever this thing that's haunting me, to be gone. Let it go. Maybe you're here this morning and you're sick. Maybe there's something that's serious in your body. Lord, we ask that you would heal those things this morning. We know you can. We ask that you would. Amen.
Okay, just as we sing the last song, boy, that was a good message. Wasn't that good? That was doctrinal, fun, personal, touching, refreshing. That was so great. Pastor Doug will be flying out today, and we keep him in prayer. He's the youth pastor in Marlboro, Mass, with Pastor Bailey Norman, and we just... These relationships mean a lot to us. Thank you, Pastor. That was great. I could ask while we sing the last song if the pastors would come down, and if you would like to have a prayer or you have a need for a word for counsel or encouragement, feel free to come down here, talk to the pastors, and we'll linger here for a little bit. So would the pastors just come on down and do that while we're singing? So thank you.